Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. So, have you been the victim of identity theft yet? No? Well, the way things are going, with the way your personal information is handled in this country, it may just be a matter of time. You may have recently read of the big hoo-ha over ChoicePoint, a so-called data aggregator, which gathers information on you and me from anywhere it can, and then sells that information to, quote, qualified customers. That information includes, among other things, names, addresses, social security numbers, mother's maiden names, dates of birth, and the list goes on and on. What, you say? You didn't authorize anyone to sell your information. Well, here in the land of the free, you don't have to. In fact, unless you happen to live in California, if some bad person steals your personal information from these outfits, they don't even have to let you know that someone could be on the phone right now or on the internet, setting up all sorts of credit card or loan applications in your name, using your credit history, and then going out and wrecking that credit record while running up tens of thousands of dollars of debt that you'll spend untold hours and legal fees trying to untangle. Well, that sounds pretty scary, you say. But really, how often do information hemorrhages like that really happen? Well, let's take a look. Let's take March 2005 as our sample month. A good bit of this information, by the way, comes from The Register, which is available at www.theregister.co.uk. So, a few examples. At California State University at Chico, remote intruders got into university computers and grabbed the names, addresses, and social security numbers of 59,000 faculty and staff. Boston College had to write an unpleasant note to 120,000 of its alumni, indicating that computer intruders got access to their addresses and social security numbers, and credit card numbers. But it's not always a university. Shoe retailer DSW suffered a remote break-in of the company's computerized database. More than 100,000 customers lost information about a lot more than their shoe size. Data aggregator Sizeent, owned by publishing giant Reed Elsevier, confessed to 32,000 individuals that its LexisNexis database had been compromised, and they were in it. ChoicePoint wasn't burgled. It actually sold the names, addresses, and social security numbers and other information of more than 150,000 people to, quote, qualified customers, end quote, who turned out to be criminals. The company waited 4 months after they discovered this fact and then said they would only notify those in California, since that state's law required them to do so. Kind of gives a person a lot of confidence in the voluntary controls on information currently being touted by the administration in Washington. Well, after folks in California began getting their state-mandated notices, the cat was out of the bag, and a public outcry shamed ChoicePoint into, quote, voluntarily, end quote, notifying everyone affected of their slack security and their any-sale-to-boost-profits approach to doing business. Bank of America, meanwhile, confessed to losing backup tapes containing the financial records of 1.2 million federal employees. Nobody knows who, if anyone, has those 1.2 million names and financial records. Paymax, a payroll service for other companies, somehow managed to make more than 25,000 of its customers' payroll records publicly available online. These weren't the only cases of information theft or exposure through venality or stupidity during March, but they do give you the idea. If you've been keeping track, these and the other cases we didn't bother to mention total over 1.5 million records. Now, some may be duplicates, but I think it's safe to say that in 1 month in the U.S., well over a million people became very good candidates for identity theft. And for those that become victims, they'll find themselves looking at an average liability of about $32,000. Once they manage to find out that their identity had been stolen, and they can expect to spend an average of 14 to 18 months of their time to straighten things out. at least as much as things can be straightened out. So, what to do? Well, obviously, if your personal information is stolen from some careless data aggregating company, which the register simply refers to as privacy invaders, you're going to be in repair mode once you discover someone else is using your name. There's quite a bit of good information about how to go about that at the Federal Trade Commission's identity theft website at www.consumer.gov/IDTHEFT, ID theft. Not all identity theft occurs because of these large-scale break-ins. Spectacular and avoidable as these are, it's often the careless trail that we ourselves leave in our daily comings and goings that gives identity thieves an entryway into our world. Be careful about what information you give out in today's digital world. Information simply leaks, no matter what anyone tells you. The supermarket, for example, can ask for your social security number when you apply for a frequent shopper card, but you don't have to give it. All they really need is a unique identifying number for your card record. Same with your university, or almost any other outfit that wants your social security number. Unless that organization has to report by law to the IRS, they have no claim on that number. When you bring your credit card up to the register in some store, and they ask you to write your phone number and address on the back, simply smile and say no. Merchants can't demand that information as a condition of using a credit card. And there are a million other everyday ways that we can leave a much lighter digital footprint as we wend our way through our daily business. A lighter footprint will make it that much harder for identity thieves to pick up our trail. And that's a very good start right there. Perhaps you're taking comfort in going through this list that at least none of these security breaches involve the government. Well, don't get too comfortable. We'll take a look at some folks with very long noses at the Transportation Security Administration. You know, like what happened to Pinocchio? Right here on a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.